Pass the mead cups and adjust your crown. That's the theme music for HBO's Game of Thrones, the series based on the best-selling novels by George R.R. Martin, his violently epic medieval fantasy about warring families vying for power over the mythical land of Westeros. But in between the bloody battles and palace intrigue, hey, warlords get hungry.
Bread and two of this little fish. And a mug of dark beer to wash it down. And bacon burnt black.
That famished fellow is Tyrion Lannister, played by Peter Dinklage. But why stop at bacon? How about a rack of lamb surrounded by turnips swimming in butter? Or Dornish snake with fiery sauce? Pigeon pie, cream swans, honeyed locusts. The food in Martin's novels inspired two roommates from Alston, Massachusetts, to cook up the dishes, then blog about it. And it became so popular they published a book. It's called A Feast of Ice and Fire. And the authors, and I guess we now call them chefs, join us in the studio. Chelsea Munro Castle, welcome.
Hi.
And welcome as well to your co-authors, Sari and Lara. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So what, Chelsea, start with you. When did you start cooking some of these things that, well, are sort of, some of them seem familiar, but some are sort of unfathomable?
We actually started last March, and we were sitting in the kitchen one day talking about what we'd like to have for dinner and came to the realization that we were both really craving lemon cakes, which is sort of a signature dish of the book series. And while our first attempts at lemon cakes were good, they just didn't give us that wow factor of, like, innocence and summer and everything good about growing up in Winterfell.
Okay, so Sarianne, I'm sorry. We have to just now taste them because you've brought in a plate of the lemon cakes. Can you just tell us a little bit about them? I swing them over here. They look like petit fours.
They do. That's actually our modern recipe for the lemon cakes. We do have a historical recipe which we've based on actual source documents from, I believe they're Elizabethan.
What's the difference between your modern, and you do that in the book, you have a modern recipe and then you have one that is, as you said, from practically medieval times. What's the difference?
The Elizabethan ones are actually flatter, more like cookies, and these modern ones are almost a petit four, and we've actually made them probably at least 25 times now to really hone in on the perfect recipe.
And oh, they are good.
They are. They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. The lemon is very much in sort of the icing that's on top. And then you have these beautiful, what are these, the flowers you've put on top?
Violets.
Violets with some sugar on top of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very pretty. I know I'm tasting what I think is a delicious lemon cake, but what are you tasting when you taste this?
They taste like Sansa Stark. I mean, they're sweet, almost cloyingly sweet.
This is one of the characters.
Yes, yeah. Sansa Stark.
Is she the blonde, the character that has pet dragons?
That's Daenerys Targaryen.
See? Okay.
All right. Sansa Stark has red hair. She's betrothed to King Joffrey.
And so this says Sansa to you.
Mm-hmm. It's innocent Sansa, yes, before everything went wrong for her.
So you're making these as fun, you know, for fun in your kitchen. Then you start blogging about them. Then you actually write George R.R. Martin to tell him what?
To tell him that he had inspired us to go ahead and try our hands at making some of the dishes from the books. He cautioned us away from some of the stranger foods.
Well, I'm thinking there's one character who ate a horse heart at one point.
It's true. We didn't do that level of authenticity when it came to the horse heart. But we did make faux heart cupcakes out of red velvet cupcake and fondant.
Ah.
So they were very convincing.
Well, and it's true that this is medieval times, knights and dragons and everything. So there's a lot of gnawing on, you know, legs of things. But you are staying. What else did you decide to stay away from?
We have only stayed away from things that are either illegal or impossible to obtain based on financial restraints. So, for example, we haven't cooked a whole swan.
Thank you.
Yes. Because I think we looked it up at one point and found we could get one for about $900, but the small print was that it would arrive live and still flapping.
Okay,
and that
well,
was well beyond our abilities.
No swans, no herons, no
right.
dogs. Thank you again.
Yes.
No horse roasted with honey and peppers. Again, this is medieval times, so it's in the writing. But you do some exotic things that are acceptable, like honeyed locusts, mm-hmm. but certainly not locusts.
We actually used crickets. If we'd been able to find locusts, I think we probably would have done it. But Amazon.com apparently sells crickets, so there you have it.
There you go.
You can get everything online.
Well, and then the next thing you know, Mr. Martin has helped you. We understand he connected you with a publisher.
He did.
And now you've got the book. Sarianne Lair, what are you hearing from other fans?
We've had great feedback from our fans. We just had a giveaway for 2 copies of the book on our website, inatthecrossroads.com, and we had over 600 entries.
And Chelsea, what do you think it is about the food aspect of the series that's so appealing?
Well, I know that George Martin goes into a lot of detail about a number of things, from heraldry to clothing to place settings. And the food is one thing that really stands out, because while people might not want to put on a velvet doublet, everyone gets hungry. And the idea of being able to stave off that hunger with pork pie and a flagon of ale, I think, really hits a nerve with a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a richness to it. Although,
yes.
You know, wearing a velvet doublet while eating any of these things could
also
be...
that's win-win.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've brought 2 versions of pork pie for us. One the medieval, one the modern. What's the difference? But they're both beautiful. We're going to have pictures at herenow.org. They're just beautiful, what you've done on the top of the crust, you know, braided the crust in one case, and on the other there's a pig, a little pig that's sort of cut out of the crust. But what's the difference otherwise?
The medieval pie is more sweet than what we're used to from sort of modern pork pies. Our modern pork pie is very savory, and it has cheese and apples and barbecue sauce, and it's amazing. The medieval pork pie is also very good, but it's very different from what the modern palate is expecting. It has ginger in it, some honey, currants, and chopped up dates. And it's interesting to see how tastes have changed throughout the ages. Our medieval beef and bacon pie is also very sweet compared to the modern one.
And you also have a recipe for a common medieval spice mix. We've got it right here. It looks kind of brown, like cinnamon almost. What is it?
It is sort of a glorified cinnamon sugar, and it's a combination of sugar, ginger, cinnamon, galangale, cassia, if you can get it. I think we also have grains of paradise in there.
Grains of paradise?
Yes.
What is that?
It was a precursor to black pepper, mostly gone out of fashion nowadays, except it's sort of enjoying a revival in home brewing and microcraft brewing, because it was used for the same purpose way back when.
That's so interesting, because craft brewing is so popular now, and we're reminded that it's bringing us full circle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you done your own beers yet?
We have, actually. We're just starting in on that. We've brewed a couple of beers and several meads and a few fruit wines. We're going to get going this summer when the fruits are all in season.
Well, and before we let you go, is there a dish you want to make and you just haven't found the ingredients yet?
I've been on an epic quest to find lamprey for lamprey pie since we started this project.
Which all sounds really cool. Like, wow, that could be cool. Except then I looked it up, and a lamprey is a jawless eel.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
It is pretty gross. And I've overcome my fear of gutting eels recently, so I'm ready to take on the challenge of the lamprey.
Okay. Well, you know, if you're into, you know, jawless eels that suck instead of bite... and want one in a pie, well, then these are the gals for you. Chelsea Monroe-Castle, Sarianne Lair, their book is A Feast of Ice and Fire, the official companion cookbook to George R.R. Martin's best-selling Game of Thrones fantasy series. To see pictures of their culinary creations and hook up to their Inn at the Crossroads website, go to herenow.org. Chelsea, Sarianne, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
The Game of Thrones Season 2 finale is Sunday on HBO. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.